All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Ooh, welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up? My man, how you doing?
Hey, listen, can we just start off on the right foot?
Yeah.
How about a belated happy birthday to our boy, Chris Hall Productions?
Oh, yeah, you saw him this morning, didn't
I
you?
I did. It was great to see him, and I was kicking myself because I thought to my, as I was walking across the lobby, I thought, oh, I'm going to really impress him with my memory and wish him a happy birthday.
And then he walked up to him and said, what's your name again?
Right, who's this? Sorry, dude, we don't open till noon, so if you want to wait outside. And then he said, I'm with David, and I was like, who?
Yeah. You double locked the door?
Right, that was like I said, second, you can wait outside.
The second deadlock went through.
I pulled down the secret, like... Gates.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's good fun. David, I feel like I may have I feel like I'm not doing my part.
I know. Why? What's up?
Well, I looked high and low.
Oh.
For news to report. There's not a lot of news out there.
This is like the second or third week it's been a little rough.
A little quiet.
And here's the thing. This weekend is NYCC.
New York City Comic Con.
Yeah. And this is, I think, the first time in 10 years that they've had it that I haven't gone for at least some of it.
Mm.
Which is,
wait,
it's,
say
it's
that again.
Weighing on me a little bit.
This is the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
That other than when they didn't have it. This is the first time that they've had it that you haven't gone for some portion of it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an impressive. Me and Mark went a few different times.
Yeah.
One time we fully committed, and I think once or twice others we just popped in.
Right.
But
we would do the whole weekend, and then, you know, eventually there were some years where it only worked to go for one day, or I would get sick during it because the con sick, you know, that happens.
Mm.
And then I really thought about it this year. I was like, I really want to go, but I don't want to go. And now I'm seeing pictures of it, and I'm like, I kind of wish I was there. But at the same time, this ties into what we're talking about. There's a lot of cool things to see, but there's also not a lot to see. Like, the things they have are just really cool displays of either things you know about or you've read about or whatever, or like toys or like games or whatever.
Right.
And it's not a whole lot of what it normally is like, check out all this new crazy stuff that's coming out.
Right.
And that does not seem to be what's going on, because even the panels, which is usually a lot in movie news, kind of sparse, and it's mostly Netflix and Paramount and stuff putting out their streaming panels. So a lot of television news this week, as we call it, or streaming news, whichever we want to go for, but almost no movie news, which is really weird.
Yeah, it's strange. And there's not a lot of news like behind the scenes either, like it's quiet.
Well, I think there's another factor. Well, see, NYCC just pointed it out to me really harsh.
Yeah.
But the other thing is the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees is in a big dispute on compensation and have approved the ability to strike. They're not currently on strike, but this would affect a lot of theatrical productions as well as TV and streaming just across the board. And this has a lot to do with wage and things that people take for granted. It's like you don't. So, do you know much about this?
Yeah, I mean, not a ton, but I know the story.
Yeah, but like, so basically, like, well, for people who don't know how film industry works, it's very fast paced. It's very like, you sign a contract, you're going to get paid this much for your work. You got to be here for the, like, if they're working, you got to be there for this stuff. I have a friend who works in film, and he's just getting kind of out of it, and before you can even join the union, you have to put in years and years of work at like the lower paying section. Then once you join the union, then you're guaranteed a little bit better pay. But you're still doing like difficult work. We're starting, okay, if you're not the actors, if you're in the production, you know, you start your day at like 2-3 in the morning and you're there until you're done, which could be 11-1 in the morning. And then you have to do it the next day with only like 3-4 hours turnaround time. And they expect these people to be the lifeblood of the system. Now, and then with streaming has been typically called new media, which means that it falls outside of the contract. This is speaking for the union. It falls outside of the union contract, so they can be paid less and expected to work more if they take those jobs. So this whole thing is about, with new media becoming like the media now, like television's kind of dying especially, that they want to get paid better. They want better hours. They want, you know, breaks for lunch. Like things that you would take, you would take as like a normal thing, right. almost a right to your workday.
Right.
And they're, on one hand, when this all started, it's like, oh, well, you get paid more because of the turnaround. And then over time, you know, the industry moved and changed and people are getting taken advantage of. So anyway, that could have something to do with it.
What I heard out of your entire story is that streaming is once again the bad guy.
Definitely. It's definitely not the whole industry as a whole. It's
right.
Specifically Netflix.
Right.
Yeah. And no one else.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Probably Disney.
Disney. Anybody who puts a plus at the end of their name,
right.
They're definitely part of the problem.
Right. No, but seriously, I mean, that it is interesting. Like, there's a lot of pressure. It shows, again, streaming is not, because it's not a feasible business model. It's once again, you know, they're trying to make a $400 million movie for $12 million. They're trying to make a Hollywood movie on a television budget. And who's the first people they're going to screw is all these guys.
Right.
And people.
It's kind of funny because when I started doing podcasting was new media. And it was like, I had another production company called The Linecast, and we did a podcast.
I was a guest on that show.
Many times.
Yeah.
And selling ad revenue for that was so difficult. What do you charge for it? What's appropriate?
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody wanted to invest in podcasting. Now, podcasting is where everyone goes to invest. You join like a group and like that. Or you join like a program that puts your podcast out there and just inserts ads or whatever. And I'm not saying it's easy money or anything, but it's not as difficult as it was. Like there's avenues to go down.
It's a little bit normalized.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone listens to podcasts now. Whereas in where I started, I had to say, I do a podcast and people said, what is that?
What?
It's like radio.
What channel?
What channel is it on? Right. Exactly. What frequency?
Is it FM?
It's like your mother-in-law. I think I watched that podcast.
Right, I watched that podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Podcasts are new media.
Yeah, but less than they were.
And are we on strike?
I think we have to.
Is this why
the union?
Is this why in all the years we've been doing this show, I've never once gotten a lunch break?
Yeah. And I don't know if you notice how worried Bruce looks at the staff meetings.
Right.
He's like, if these guys notice,
right,
we're going down.
I was wondering about that. I just assumed he's having trouble at home
again.
He
just keeps the talent. He wants the talent in the dark. That's
right.
That's what I hear.
Like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Keep him in the dark and feed him shit.
And they can sprout.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we'll let you know if we go on strike. Remember when Kramer went on strike? No bagel, no bagel, no bagel, no bagel.
That's going to be our excuse if we ever miss.
Right.
I mean, the strike's going on. I don't know if you guys know.
What if there's like a bunch of scabs that come in and do the show while we're on strike?
Someone asked me what would happen if you, when you go to Conan, if you can't do it. Or we were getting close to, I was like, well, I'll just talk and then I'll edit in old clips of him responding to stuff. And it'll be like, see how many people notice.
I picture like two guys that aren't us, like reading something going, and I'm Bruce, what's up? He's been eyeing our spot, that Bruce. I say we get
every
rid of
time.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to go. So what kind of news do you have for us?
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to talk about Bond all day.
Yeah.
Because that's the movie that we reviewed. That's the big new movie this weekend.
You just watched it.
The the topic that always comes whenever anybody says this is Daniel Craig's last show, that everybody's always like, well, who's going to be the new Bond?
Right.
Well, we can cross one person off of our list. Ichabod Elbow Crane is not going to be doing, talking about Idris Elba, is not going to be the next James Bond, which I think for a time we genuinely thought he might be.
Yeah.
But I think that over time, I don't know, there's just something about it where you feel like, nah.
You think, here's the thing, when these rumors started, it was like six, seven years ago, right?
Oh, when Daniel, right, and Daniel Craig was still making James Bond movies.
Yeah, but he wanted out.
Right.
And everyone was like, oh, Idris Elba should be the next Bond.
Right.
Well, it's 6-7 years on, and he, just like all of us, has aged six, seven years.
Speak for yourself there, tough guy.
I know. Right. You're like the Winter Soldier. When we're done podcasting, I freeze you to the next week.
Right.
And then pop you out. Yeah.
But, yeah, so Ichabod Elba has gotten older since these rumors started. But anyway, he came out this week and definitively said, no, I am not going to be the next James Bond.
Yeah.
So we can cross that one guy off our list. So I guess, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah, we're going to talk more about the Bond stuff.
Okay, but real quick on this topic. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask you for a name. I'm going to ask you for a type. Do you want the next James Bond to be somebody that we know or a newcomer?
If it's somebody we know, they should be a little off. They should be on the outskirts of things.
Right.
Like maybe someone we've seen in some stuff, but he's not like.
I got a name for you.
He or her, I guess.
I got a name for you.
Yeah.
Adam Driver.
I said on the outskirts. Adam Driver is not on the outskirts.
He is number one. He's on the inskirts.
Yeah. Also, isn't he American? Well, Pierce Brosnan was American.
You got to be British to do it.
You gotta have a British accent.
So the questions are, so we'll go even broader. Mm. Do you want someone you know versus an unknown? Or not even an unknown, but like a newcomer. Like when Daniel Craig got the job, I had heard the name, but I wasn't like familiar.
Let's go back this way. Of all the Bonds that you've been conscious of them casting,
yeah.
Did you know who any of them were before Bond?
No.
Exactly.
Okay. So a known versus an unknown. But now let's go to the other one, like man versus woman.
That's tough.
Are we going to introduce some ethnicity into this?
Well, I mean, if you go with the way the movie was going, you could. It's hard to say.
She's not going to be the next Bond.
No.
There's no way.
She could be the next 007. But I think that we'll talk about it. I don't want to talk spoilers.
Okay.
If people don't want to know.
One last little piece of news off the James Bond universe is Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have another movie coming out soon?
Sandbox.
Coon City. Welcome to Raccoon City.
You're thinking of...
Oh, I'm thinking of Resident Evil.
Yeah.
He didn't direct Resident Evil? No.
I think it's called Dune.
Oh. Sounds made up.
Yeah. It's a new thing. I've definitely never talked about it, ever.
All right. So the Dune director, Denis V, is open to being a James Bond director.
Yeah. He said he was, when asked, he's like, yeah, I totally like to do James Bond.
Wait a minute. This just...
Yeah. Someone actually wants to do James Bond.
This just in, Penn Ketchum has also announced that he is open to directing the next James Bond movie as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that's hot off the presses. I mean, that's like, that just came in the fax machine. Just came over the fax just now.
You know, before we were recording today, this is a side note, right? I'm downstairs talking to my straight up homies.
Not true.
My dogs, right? And they go... They're like, who's going to do the next Bond movie? And I was like, I bet Penn be up to do it.
Yeah.
No. But what really happened, they were like, well, what's upstairs? Where do you guys record? I was like, in the office upstairs. Like, it'd be so cool to see what was up there. And I was like, well, it's just a big office. And they're like, oh, well, do you have to put a sign up that you're recording and stuff? And I was like, no, they hear us laughing. They know what's going on.
It would have been great if you told that story and you were like, Penn said he's open to directing the next James Bond, and then your friends were like, nah, there's no way he would do that. No. Because then I could come like, boop, 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 on the podcast and like settle.
Yeah, I know you guys were arguing about this. Right. Is he into it? Right. He's definitely into it.
Definitely down. I think that's the dumbest headline we've ever read. That so-and-so is up for directing the new Bond. Like, well, of course they are.
Yeah, right.
Obviously.
Okay. Well, here's a rumor for you.
All right, hit me.
There's a deleted tweet from Marvel India's, it's in the India Marvel Twitter account.
What does that mean? So, meaning Marvel, meaning the Marvel that we know and love.
So, like, there's Marvel USA.
Okay.
That's like the main Marvel.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's like Sony Japan. Okay. Like, it's like the company working in that country. Okay. Like, where it's focused on that country.
Like Penn Cinema Lititz, Penn Cinema Riverfront, Penn
right.
Cinema Huntington Valley.
Gotcha. Exactly. Okay. So Marvel
pretty
India.
Much the same thing.
You're just, I mean, yeah. Disney, Penn Cinema,
right.
Hand in hand.
Right.
They're walking right next to each other down the street.
Exactly.
You know,
we go to all the same parties.
Yeah. So Marvel India had a deleted tweet that the upcoming Blade reboot with Marshala Ali is scheduled for an October 7th, 2022 release date. But then they took it down. That's quick.
It's like it never happened.
Yeah. So people are like, that's a lot faster than we expected.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If that happens, it'd be really surprising. And so the things that everyone's talking about now, does that mean that they've been filming it in secret? Like, are they really keeping it hush-hush? Or are they just going to rush it as soon as they can? Like,
I don't believe any rumor that involves any studio filming a film in secret. Like, that goes against everything that every studio is about. Like, how many dumb headlines have we read on this show that were put out by the studio just to get idiots like us talking about their movie?
Like this. But I wonder, wasn't The Matrix kind of like that?
Yeah.
The Matrix was a different time.
Yeah.
Because the internet was not
right. What
it is. Right. For those who remember the Dark Ages.
Marley has been calling me on some stuff.
Like on the phone?
No. Like, we're sitting around talking, and I make a comment about the quote-unquote old days. And I generically refer to anything that is not now as the 1980s.
Of course.
Right? So we're watching shows. We're streaming shows. And when... You know how some shows get released, like Ted Lasso or Only Murders in the Building, and you have to wait till next week to see the episode, right? And then other shows, they release the whole series, and you can watch the whole thing, like, on opening day, right?
Yeah.
So whenever there's a movie, a show that you have to wait week to week, I always say, oh, it's just like the 1980s all over again. And I guess I said it enough that Marley got annoyed and reminded me that actually it was just a couple years ago, like during her, for example, high school career, that you used to have to watch a show and wait a week, you know, for the next episode.
That's insane.
Yeah. So it turns out there is other time periods between now is one time period and the 1980s.
1989, 2020.
Right. Yeah. Just a void.
Yeah.
It's just a black void.
And every time anyone goes to talk about it, it's like...
It never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Speaking of time voids and things that never happened, Christopher Nolan, master of the wrinkle in time, master of the... Confused, right? Yes, exactly. Master of the movie where you walk out having no clue what you just watched,
right?
Like, what just happened?
Exactly.
I better go listen to the Penn Cinema podcast so I can have it explained.
Those two guys know what they're talking about,
right? Totally.
141 weeks of never missing an episode,
right.
They have to have some knowledge in their mind,
perfect.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan, as previously reported on the Penn Cinema podcast, is now with Universal.
Yes.
And his next major movie, which presumably comes out from Universal, which means it'll be a massive budget and a theatrical-only release.
Mm-hmm.
The next movie is going to be called Oppenheimer, about the guy, Mr. Oppenheimer.
Oh, John Jacob Irish.
I was going there.
Oh, it's a similar mind.
Yeah. And didn't Oppenheimer invent the A-bomb?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the jingle. Which is remarkable that he would have two of the world's most influential inventions ever.
Back to back.
Right.
Well, see, what happened is he made the bomb, and he was like, well, how about this one, guys? And they quickly forgot.
Right. Hey, what bomb?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Now, he made that song, right?
I can't go on.
Well, Cillian Murphy is set to play.
Cillian. It starts at C-I-L-L-I-A-N. Killian. I believe Killian. Is pronounced Cillian.
Because he's killing it.
He's killing it. He killianed it in Peaky Blinders.
Slivin. Yeah.
Did you true. Ever, are you hip to Peaky Blinders?
I watched a few episodes.
I love Peaky Blinders.
And then I stopped.
Loved it.
I didn't get into it.
He's the main man in Peaky Blinders, as well as Batman. He was in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Played the Scarecrow.
Yeah, and he's been a couple other big... What else am I blanking on? He was in another like semi-superhero type of comic book type of movie.
Oh, I can't think of what it was.
Anyway, he's super talented, and he's teaming up with Christopher Nolan for their new movie, Oppenheimer, which comes out in 2023. You heard it here third. You saw it online twice, and now you heard
now
it
Now you
here.
Heard it from us. It finally stuck. Dude, are you ready to get into some
please,
new trailers?
Please.
Because I didn't see one of these.
Yeah, I just threw it on there.
Yeah. So let's start with that one.
Okay, the 355 trailer number 2
yeah.
came out. And 355 is a movie that we've talked about quite a bit because mm-hmm. it was supposed to come out like...
Forever ago.
Back in the day, in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, in the 80s.
Right.
It stars all these 80s actresses.
Right, right, right. Yeah. It's basically Charlie's Angels. It's the 355th episode that they're releasing theatrically.
Yeah.
That's why it's called the 355.
Can you imagine? Right. No context to the series. Like, right. It's just like, it's a continuation, but it's just one long episode.
Oh my God, that would be perfect. And what if it wasn't even long? What it's if it was 45. Just 47 minutes?
Yeah.
Anyway, 355 is a all-female spy team.
Yeah.
With female agents from England, America, China, somewhere else.
And I'm going to hate myself. I can't remember the girl who's in Bond is in this.
Yeah. Leah.
Something.
Starts with an S, I think.
Leah.
But if, I know Slady. The first name. I know the first name is Leah. And she was amazing in Bond. And
yeah.
she's in the 355 along with Lupita,
yeah.
whose last name I can't pronounce, and Jessica Chastain.
Right.
And this movie comes out on January 7th, and the trailer looks dope.
I like the first one, so I'll have to check
I tell you,
one.
The only my only complaint about this a little bit is that it looks, what's the right word? Okay, here's the word. Oh, I hate to say it because it's like a pinkies out word. Ba-ching! We haven't really referenced that much. The person that we're trying to think of, well, first of all, Penelope Cruz is also in it. But hang on a sec. She's not. Oh, that's annoying that you guys have to listen to me try to.
Are you thinking of John Jacob Oppenheimer Schmidt?
Yeah, that's the one.
His name is her name, too.
I'm annoyed as hell when people use this as a complaint, but I'm going to preemptively complain about the 355.
Oh boy.
I think it looks formulaic. Like, I just feel like we're going to watch this movie and enjoy it and be entertained by it, but I also feel like we've already seen this movie 26 times.
Look, I'll give you that not going from this trailer, because I haven't seen it, but from the first trailer, it did very much remind me of Ocean's 12 or 13.
Right.
Ocean's 13.
All of the above.
Yeah. So another movie on this list that I'm going to say definitely looks like a film that I was actually surprised is coming to theaters is Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City. Now, this is a movie...
This is a movie.
That's all I got.
I was hoping you were going to stop there. I don't know. Here, I'm gonna have a different take.
The best response would have been, "Is it though?"
Right. I have a different take though. My take is that this is a movie that does nothing for me.
But it's going to do something for someone.
I have no interest in seeing this movie. The woman that we're trying to think of is Léa Seydoux.
Okay.
L-E-A and S-E-Y-D-O-U-X. So if I wasn't as sophisticated as I am, I would say Dukes. But since I'm wicked fancy, and I already have my pinky out from using the word formulaic.
Let's talk about how fancy Penn is right now. Penn's a man with long sleeves, right? But he's so concerned about how his long sleeves, he wants to make sure everyone knows he has long sleeves.
Right.
So he's got little holes in his long sleeves to put his thumbs in.
Right.
So just in case anyone's like, are those short sleeves? He's like, nah, they can't even go up.
Nah, brah.
Like, they're protected.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This way I can put my thumbs in them so they don't accidentally become short sleeves.
Right. And nobody having short sleeves in the penthouse.
Right. That's how fancy Penn is. Yes. So Léa Seydoux. Who we thought was amazing in Bond, is right. also in the 355, but that's not what we're talking about right now.
Welcome, Resident Evil, welcome to Raccoon City, which as of now does not have Mila Jovovich in it.
Right. Here's my take on this movie.
As of now.
This movie does nothing for me. This is not my kind of movie. This right. is a zombie movie, straightforward, bop-bitty-bop-bop-bop.
What?
But I will say... And I'm surprised that you don't agree with me. You watched this trailer.
Yeah, I watched this trailer for sure.
You watched it. Yeah. You watched this trailer. I do that all the time. As I'm getting older, I find myself like stumbling over words, like putting mushing words together. You watched it in this movie.
Yeah, I definitely watched it in this trailer. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You did, for real. The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Because when I was watching, this movie, this trailer,
yeah.
I thought to myself, this is not a movie for me, but this is a really great trailer. I thought it was really well made. And I thought to myself, I literally thought to myself, David is going to say that this was a really well-made trailer.
No, you know, I didn't think about it because the subject matter had me so turned off.
You were turned off before you could even, like, appreciate it.
But I'll give you that it's not a bad-made trailer. Like, if I was interested in the subject matter, I probably would be hype.
Right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how interested are you in this movie?
I'm going to give it a 2.
Oh.
Because
the trailer is so well made?
I've been less interested.
Oh.
And I've seen some of them.
Okay. Oh, you have?
And this is based off of one of the games that's supposedly really good.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I mean, if they follow the game formula and it works, like, it could be good.
You know what's going to be tricky?
What?
When you and I almost said the three of us because there's three trailers. When you and I have to pick our trailer of the week this week. We got one that only one of us saw.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
Described as formulaic.
Yeah.
We got one that gets a 2 out of 10 on David's interest meter.
Right.
Even though we watched it, did the whole thing.
Yeah. Front
and
to back.
And then we got the final trailer for Dune.
Right.
Which is directed by the guy who directed the next James Bond movie. Well,
he'd be up to directing the next James
Bond movie. Right. He'd be up for directing.
He's not totally out of the... He's not saying no.
Right.
Yeah, and that's all it was saying.
Him and Penn Ketchum are both not saying no.
They're probably going to do more than one. So if you don't see it this time, expect it the next one.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's assumed.
Yeah.
So we have the new final trailer for Dune, which... You say you watched on the big screen.
I did, and it was amazing.
Oh, my God, that's so cool.
I think I like the first trailer better, but that's just because I already know what the story is.
Mm.
Watching this, I think, is the type of trailer that you get more people in the seats with.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I 100% agree, because this trailer... So, I had a really great conversation this morning with LOL Jamie.
Oh.
She doesn't write into the show that much, but I know that she's a loyal listener.
Right.
She listens every week. Well, sometimes she's a week or two behind, but she's right there with us.
Week to 6 months.
And she's like my favorite because I feel like she's on my side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's definitely like you. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I definitely feel like she's on Team Penn, like clearly.
Yeah. But she's been reading the Dune books in chronological order.
Well, she's way better than me.
Yeah, she's
I should have led with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know she's a better person.
Clearly.
Right.
I looked it up once and it was a picture of her in comparisons.
So LOL Jamie and I were both talking about how we're like pretty well into Dune. She's further in and still have no idea what's going on.
Well, that's because she's 7 books in, maybe 8. 7 books in, I'm going to say for sure. She still hasn't read Dune yet.
Because she started with the prequels.
Yeah.
And the quote that I heard was, because, quote, David made me start with the prequels.
Yeah. Well, she's a fast reader. But then she'll read one of the books and be like, oh, I'm going to read the next one after this. And then it'll be a year or two.
Right.
And then she'll be like, oh, I'm back on Dune. And I was like, what, do you want me to be impressed?
Right.
Like, being impressed is you could have read this already. Then I'd be impressed.
Right.
Yeah.
So the reason why I mention her and my confusion about Dune is because one thing that I loved about this trailer is it simplified the plot.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, it explains the storyline to your average moviegoer who's in the theater to see James Bond, and now they're watching this Dune trailer, and they're like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah.
That's a movie about an invasion of a planet, and they're coming after that nice guy's family. They're picking him off one by one, and he's got an imaginary girlfriend who's got the most beautiful blue eyes. She's probably James Bond's daughter.
Probably. That's actually how it all ties in.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Little do they know that all happens at the beginning of the story.
That's like page one.
Yeah. The attack happens pretty soon. Even you've read past that.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
He was shocked. One advisor guy was shocked by the amount of ships that were there.
Clearly.
He expected 10, and instead there were 10,000 brigades. Am I right?
What, when they come for him?
Yeah. When he's talking about it, and he's like, I expected 10 ships or maybe 100 ships, and instead there's 10,000 brigades.
That's because...
Which you have to assume means there's like a million ships.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're secrets.
They're not fooling around.
You think it's the one guy?
No.
But it's the other guy has his guys dressed up like the other guys.
Right.
And that way he can't be blamed for it. I know, right?
It's pretty intense. So anyway, David approves of the final trailer.
You know what's more impressive? Is I rolled in to Penn Cinema to watch a movie, and I saw the newest trailer for something before a movie, and not the one that said it came out in 2 years from now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, the senior management at Penn Cinema got together, and we were like, listen,
yeah,
this isn't working.
Come on,
we got to take the extra 5 minutes and find the right damn trailers.
It's time to start updating them again. People are back.
Right.
Yeah.
We're showing trailers for Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's got to be a little bit more up to date.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's great.
Yeah.
And what other trailers were on your show?
I just got the look like, you make fun of me on the show again. Off camera, I'm gonna get slapped on the wrist.
Oh, you got that when you walked in?
No, right now.
Oh, just now?
Because I made fun of the trailers. He's like, don't ever bring that up. You know how hard I work.
So we had Dune.
Uh-huh.
The Last Duel.
Yeah.
Which, what do you make of The Last Duel?
So I think we talked about this before. It's like you're saying every time you see the trailer for it, you become less like into it.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel in the same thing, but I'm right on the fence where I still want to see it.
Here's my fear.
Yeah.
My fear is that the movie is heavy. Ooh. And it's not a action.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be heavy.
It's a drama.
Yeah.
They call it The Last Duel, and they show Matt Damon and Adam Driver charging at each other on horses. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of shots of fighting.
That's not the movie.
That is not the movie. And you know, because I've said on the show a million times, what my number one pet peeve, my number two pet peeve, my number one pet peeve appears in James Bond, so we'll talk about that later. My number two pet peeve is when a movie bills itself as one thing and shows up as another. Right?
Remember we talked Dune. What?
Remember we talked about that with my top 10 worst movies.
Yeah.
And my number one was Funny People because it was supposed to be comedy and it was this intense drama.
Yeah.
I'm worried about Last Duel.
Mm.
I'm also worried about it because I put it in theater 10 because it's a nice, quiet theater. And now I think it should be in theater 1 because it's smaller because there's only a handful of tickets pre-sold.
Really? Yeah.
Even though there's commercials for it every time you turn on the television.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. It doesn't look like it's going to drag people in.
Okay, so those were our trailers. Dune, Resident Evil, the 355. Dune, obviously, trailer of the week.
The Gucci trailer.
The House of Gucci.
I was like, I gotta see this movie.
Did we watch that trailer?
We did, but seeing it on the big screen, I was like, oh man, this just looks so good.
I put a little sticky note on my computer to make sure that I stay on top of House of Gucci because I think that's going to be a sleeper Thanksgiving hit.
Yeah.
Like Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah.
And also, what can Lady Gaga not do?
She's so cool.
She's so cool and talented and just unbelievable. And she, I mean, she is obviously from this, you can tell from the trailer that she's an incredibly talented actress. I mean, we already know that from the other movie.
Right.
That she did with Bradley Cooper that Kayla wrote in and reminded me what it was.
Yeah, it was that movie.
Yeah. Where they sing Shallow.
Yeah, his finger down the nose.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that one. I can't remember.
I totally remember.
Do you guys even watch movies? It's right. Like the old song or whatever. Anyway, we watched No Time to Die this week.
Did we, though? Did you really?
Good point. I mean, I fell asleep through most of it, honestly. This has... All right, we're just going to full-on spoiler for this movie. If you don't want to watch it, I'm not going to put codes in, but you can skip past this if you want. But,
A Star is Born.
Yeah, A Star is Born.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, big time for James Bond, because there's no way to talk about this movie without talking about its conclusion.
Right.
And, frankly, I think the conclusion is... like, you should know that there's an obvious conclusion. Like, you should, like, it's like, to me, it's like seeing Harry Potter 7B or, you know, the,
yeah.
What was the last Star Wars we had? Episode 9?
You mean Return of the Jedi?
Right.
Yeah. First off, right off the top, I really like this movie a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. Let's just start, like, instead of just jumping to the end, let's start. This movie has an incredibly long opening. Or it feels really long.
No, it's a long opening.
But, unlike any other Bond movie that I can think of, this incredibly long opening leads into a song that fits so incredibly perfect to the tone that the opening sets and the tone of the movie. I was shocked at how much I liked. I'd heard this song before because it's Billie Eilish, and it came out
pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic. And I thought, it's okay. It's just Skyfall, whatever. But lyrically and tone-wise, because I thought, it doesn't have it's not great. Like, it's still kind of slow and everything. It fits so incredibly well that it hits you. If you listen to the lyrics, you're just like, oh, man. Like, I get what's going on here. What's this whole thing makes... I'm just so shocked, and more so even because when we watched the Billie Eilish movie, whatever that was called, I can't remember. During that movie, they go over how crazy it was that she got to do this. Like, she was up for the Grammys, she hadn't won yet. They contacted her, and they were like, "Well, this movie's coming out like tomorrow. We need this done now. Can you write us a song?" And like, she kept putting it off and putting it off, and then they like wrote it and recorded it in the tour van before the Grammys or something like that, something crazy, but right before something. They're like, oh, we just sent it off to see if they'll approve it. And of course they loved it. And that's crazy that it fits the tone so well with having not seen the movie or anything. It just blows me away.
Yeah. You are a Bond aficionado.
I would say,
That wasn't a question. That was a statement.
Yeah.
Because within the last year or two or three, you have seen all 25 Bonds.
Yes.
I have not seen all 25 Bonds.
Did I stay awake for all of them? That's another question.
Okay. I got two questions for you.
Uh-huh.
Was this the first one where the cut from the movie to the opening sequence, you know, that's usually like animated and, you know, has the opening, that's what I'm calling the opening sequence. The cut from the opening of the movie to the animated to the opening sequence is usually like the conclusion of a fight scene or an action scene or a chase scene, and then all of a sudden it like slams into a wall and you're in the opening sequence.
Yeah. This was a lot slower with it kind of slowly gradually taking over the screen.
I loved that. It was so gentle.
Yeah.
Like, it was very gentle. There's this like, you know, there's a lot happens in the opening part of the movie, but then when it goes from the opening part of the movie to the opening sequence, it's like really smooth and almost like gentle is the word that I would use for it.
Yeah, because it's this very somber tone.
Yeah.
And it just just works so well. There are so many things in this movie that work really, really well, that fit really well. You know, Bond's retired, which he doesn't. It seems like every one of Daniel Craig's movies, but this time it actually seems like a legitimate retirement.
Yeah.
You know, I was a little confused as if they had actually gotten married or just were supposedly thought to be married by that one guy or whatever, but you feel the betrayal.
So he says to her, "We have all the time in the world."
Right.
At the beginning of the movie. Did you pick up on what that reference was?
We were talking about it afterwards. It's in one of the other movies.
All right. So I'm going to read you a little history because I thought it was real. I did not pick up on it. But then, so I watched this movie the other day with a friend of mine. And then I read this. And then I rewatched the movie this morning.
Yeah.
With some other people. And this is the kind of movie, like, it's definitely worth seeing a couple different times. And you know, maybe you don't want to go to the movie. I'm not trying to, like, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot to this movie.
Right.
There's a lot that like they really paid a lot of respect to the history of Bond. So Daniel Craig says to Madeleine Swann, "We have all the time in the world." When he says that to her just 9 minutes into the movie, it like the first time I heard it didn't mean anything. But to the hardcore, the aficionados, it's one of the most important lines in the history of the franchise. And here's why. "We have all the time in the world" is not just a key line in the screenplay of 1969's On Her Majesty's Secret Service. It's also the title of the song performed in the midsection of that movie by jazz great Louis Armstrong, derived from British composer John Barry's love theme for that film. So in other words, the very first ever Bond movie, instead of Billie Eilish, you have Louis Armstrong, right? Yeah. And so now here in the most recent Bond movie, the 25th, you have, you know, they're paying the homage back to the first Billie Eilish. Now, that memorable music from 52 years ago has been put into the latest 007 no fewer than 3 times. Now, I didn't pick up on any of the other stuff, but the melody is heard in Hans Zimmer's No Time to Die score right after Daniel Craig says the line in the pre-credits sequence. It returns in another moving scene near the end of the movie, and the full original Armstrong vocal plays under the film's end credits. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Did you notice, like, when it went to credits, that was a very different, that song choice, which we now understand is paying homage to 1969. But did you notice when you were watching the movie that it felt unique? Like, it had a different sound for the credits than any Bond movie I remember.
Right. It wasn't like it was hyping you for the next thing. It was like very conclusion-y.
Yeah.
And with good reason.
Like literally driving off into the sunset. It was like the perfect song to go over that. So good.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about the conclusion here. They're talking about this being the end of an era, which it is. But it's not just the end of an era. It's the end of... This is a tricky one. It's the end of Bond. This Bond. He dies. Or does he? He dies.
All right. I'm not going to entertain any conversations where he does not die.
Yeah, he dies. I didn't know. I wasn't sure where you were going to go on it. But he dies. It's a situation where... Potentially he could have escaped, but if he did, he wouldn't be able to live his life because he's been poisoned. And if he got near the people he loved, he would poison them. So he lets himself die.
I would have chosen to live.
We've also been shot a lot. So
that's true too.
Maybe he couldn't.
Right. And he didn't really have any time. He had like 2.5 minutes to get off the island.
Right.
Which he wouldn't have made.
No. Some of the other Bonds would have made it with plenty of time.
Sean Connery.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was, because honestly, I felt like this Bond specifically has had so many of the movies end in tragedy for him. Vespa dying, and then at the end of the second one was more of the stuff with Vespa.
Vesper.
And there's other stuff too. Like, well, even Skyfall, like M dies, his house is his childhood house is destroyed.
Dude had a rough go of it.
Yeah, and I don't think that it would have been fair to have him end with the not being able to see his family anymore.
Right.
That he just discovered he had.
So instead, just blow him up with a missile.
Yeah, well, why not?
Yeah.
That's what anyone who's having family problems, just take the missile. Right. Go out with a bang, you know? Right. That's the only way to really do it. First sign of trouble.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's my kid?
So they're saying they're not going to look for the next Bond till 2022. They're giving it a year.
They're going to really, like, take a legit break.
Yeah, and they say it's to let Daniel Craig have his moment.
Okay.
For this.
That's fair.
Which is fair enough. But I also think it means that the suspected idea of the Lady 007 being the new 007.
So in other words, it's the end of James Bond and it's the beginning of the era of 00.
Well, that's what we thought. And I don't think that's the way it's going
to
go.
I don't know what to say.
I'm not opposed to it, but I don't feel like her character was written strong enough to take on a new...
It was not.
She was cool. But I don't think... I almost feel like the girl he teamed up with in Cuba was a stronger new spy than the 007. She had quips, but she wasn't very
I have the imagination of a guy who lives in Lytus, but I can't imagine this franchise without James Bond.
Yeah. So, did you watch all the way through the credits?
No.
We did. And we did for a very, very specific reason.
So that you can see the last frame that said James Bond will return?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to see if at the end it said 007 will return or if it said nothing. It says James Bond specifically will return.
And does it say that at the end of the credits of all the other James Bond movies?
Usually
does.
Is that
a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it says James Bond. But a lot of the older ones even say James Bond will return in and then the title of the next movie.
Oh. So. It's funny because... I did not stay all the way through the end of the credits. A couple times I cleaned the theater while the credits were running, but I was done cleaning before they got to the end. And but I went into your theater this morning to say hi.
Yeah.
And when I was walking into the auditorium, I saw it on the screen and I was like, oh, snap, that's an important detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that despite much speculation, I think James Bond... And I think that's appropriate.
This is another movie that I was almost like subject matter. Clearly this was pre-pandemic, but I'm like, subject matter was a virus.
Right.
I can see why they didn't advertise the big bad is what he's doing.
David, can I propose an alternative ending?
Is there a ring involved? What kind of proposal is this?
Let me get my notes out. Here's my alternative ending.
Yes.
They're about to escape the island, and they put the family on the motorized boat raft.
Yeah.
Right?
Boat raft.
That's a key turning point in the plot.
Yeah.
Here's what I thought was going to happen. And here I turned to my friend that I was watching it with, and I said what I'm about to say to you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
James Bond gets in the boat with his wife and his daughter because he's old and retiring.
And the new 00.
And he gets in the boat and drives off into the sunset with his family who he loves. And had he done that, he could have grown old with his family. And given the new girl an opportunity to really be the hero instead of just being a boat driver. She could have pushed them off. He goes off and retires into the sunset. She turns around and kicks ass, saves the day, opens the missile doors, and escapes herself out
you know,
some other
route. It could have been something like you would think he's about to do it, and then he's like, no, this isn't my place anymore.
Right.
It's just a number.
He could have, you know, handed her the baton at that exact moment, gone in the boat, lived happily ever after with his wife or SO and his daughter, and not only would that have been great for him, but then she, the new 007, could have had this great opportunity to be the hero.
Yeah.
But instead, they did not jump on that chance. Why are you laughing?
Because you said his wife or SO, and then my mind was like, sausage omelet?
You're hungry.
I was like, well, he's going to travel to the sausage island. Yeah, I guess maybe I am.
All right. So, yeah. We got okay. The list of future directors is already up to two people.
Yeah. Well, it's down to two people.
Down to two people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Only two. There's only really two options in my mind.
Well, how much longer till Tarantino decides he wants to be on the list?
He got to finish his Star Trek movie first.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He's only doing 10 movies. Right. Plus this one and that one right. And but potentially the other 10. One. Yeah. Right. But they don't count. Yeah. All right. You ready to do listeners' notes, feedback?
I don't know if I am. This is some hot shit this week.
All right.
Some hot tamales.
We heard from Becky the Betrayer.
Is that what we call her?
It's what I call her.
It's what we call her now.
That's what I call her. This is the Shadow's wife.
I was going to say, it used to be the Shadow's wife.
Because that's the only identification she had. Right. She had another nickname.
Right.
I don't remember what it is.
Oh, it was Black Bumper Becky.
Black Bumper Becky.
That's what it was.
That's what it is.
But that was before.
Before.
The Great Betrayal.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Black Bumper Becky.
Yeah, she's a friend
of
ours.
One of my favorite people of all time.
No more.
And she started the email off saying, have at the vile creature, basically. And she said, just like you, because she thinks she misunderstood, you said you finished book one of Dune. You didn't mean book one of the series of books that is the Dune series. You meant Dune is in, like, when you read it, it's like chapter one of book one.
There's like 27 chapters, and then you turn the page, and it's like book two.
Yeah, right. It's like sectioned off.
Okay, so we have to come back to that topic, but you go ahead and tell us about the Great Betrayal, Great Betrayal of 2021.
She said, I, too, have finished Dune.
So she's on my side. Me and Becky and LOL Jamie.
And, but LOL Jamie likes Dune, though. And Becky's like,
are you saying Becky didn't like it?
I'm saying she didn't like it. And she says, can we just move on from trying to understand this story and get past it?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
There's no moving on until you know what's going on.
David.
And then you move on to the next book.
Can I just state the obvious here? Mm-hmm. You're a better man than me. Because if my friend had written in and said that she didn't like Dune, we wouldn't be reading email because she'd be dead to me.
I know. It was
close.
You are
a kind and generous man.
But I thought by labeling her Becky the Betrayer, that would follow her further than anything that I could do when I cut her out.
Touché, mon frère.
Yeah. Who's that? Is that people are going to be like, are you Becky the Betrayer? Yeah.
Like one of the Knights of the Round Table.
It's her.
Maybe she could have a role in The Green Knight.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I dig the fact that all of her monikers start with the letter B. Black Bumper Becky the Betrayer.
That's intense. That's almost too much intense. So.
All right. So anyway, can you help me resolve a question in my mind?
Mm.
Now that we've clarified that I've read book one.
Yeah.
Meaning the small book within Dune.
Yeah. Like the first. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what you think the movie is?
We talked about this last week. I think it's going to go into part of book two.
Okay. So the answer is no. You think I need to keep reading?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's no problem. I love reading.
It's not like it took you, you know, several years to get this far.
No, it's good.
Yeah,
it's
good. You got this.
It's easy peasy.
Frodo also wrote in, of course, and had a lot to say about corporate personhood, which is something we talked about last week.
Right.
Who should get the... who should get the legal rights to intellectual properties and so forth. A lot to say there. We're not going to get into it.
It's impressive that she was able to report on all of that and not mention Ip Man 4.
Ip Man 4?
Yeah.
The
movie they made about intellectual property.
Man 4? Right. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we talked about that quite a bit on this show.
I'm surprised. It's an amazing series about corporate personhood. Right. But what she did have to say that I thought was interesting. Well, I thought it was all interesting, but specifically, this was to you.
Mm.
She said about Kurt Warner, I think what bothers you is that rather than being a good football player and a religious person, what he actually does is relinquishes the idea of him being a good football player. He's abdicating credit for his skills to God. He could be religious and talented, but his stance makes him religious and his talent a non-factor. So in that sense, he isn't being a good football player. He's being religious and saying God's doing the football. That annoys me too.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, good point.
She put it really well.
Good point.
So what else do we have here?
Austin Atreides.
Yeah.
That's not his real name.
Austin Atreides
is a name from Dune.
I know. How did you know?
Austin writes in, and oh wait, before we read this, can I share something with you?
Yeah.
If you
is this supposed to be just between us?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you witness a crime at the Apple Store, does that make you an eyewitness?
you texted me that week, and I was like, "This is too good." Yeah.
But before we get to the letters, I have an actual question for you.
Yeah.
No, an actual.
Oh.
Like a question.
Yeah.
I need answered. What do sprinters eat before they race?
What do sprinters eat before they race?
Nothing. They fast.
I was trying to think like spring salad. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I came ready this week.
Wow.
Right.
That's intense.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get back to listeners' notes.
All right.
Paul Atreides wrote in. I'm sorry. Austin Atreides just showing off my Dune chops. What's up? Austin wrote in and said he loves the dad jokes and puns. Oh, what a coincidence.
Who would have thought? I ever tell you about how my friends used to push me down the hill in a tire?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was a good year.
Did I tell you I was the judge at the Effordham Farm Show for the cow parade or something?
This year?
Yeah.
How did we not talk about that? I thought you just weren't involved this year.
Oh my God, we didn't talk about that on the show?
No. Because last year it was like every episode
right.
Talking about how you're afraid of these cows.
Yeah. Well, this year I got attacked.
What?
No, I'm serious. All right, I'm bringing the topic up because while we were waiting for the cow milking contest to start, I went around with the microphone and had little kids in the audience tell their favorite cow jokes. And one of them is this. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting. But then you got attacked?
I personally did not get attacked. But you could see that I was in danger because I was on the field where it happened. This lady was milking the cow, and the cow was kicking the lady. Now, obviously, the lady had no sense whatsoever. I don't mean any disrespect. I'm sure she's a lovely person, but she, if I was milking a cow, which I would not be, period.
Well, don't you milk a cow from its side?
Yes.
So how is it kicking her?
They get their leg up and whack. I witnessed it, so I know it was happening. And what I'm saying is this: if I was milking a cow, which I would not in the first place, but if I was, and then the damn cow tried to kick me.
Oh no!
I'm out.
Sounds like a catastrophe to me.
It was a catastrophe. It was a total catastrophe.
It was like right against your life.
There. So this cow kicks this lady, and she does not get up and leave. She gets right back into it. Keeps milking the poor thing.
You got to be serious about this. It's
crazy. Nope. So anyway, I was at the cow milking contest. I was the MC again. I was in the same room with these cows.
Yeah.
I mean, I was outdoors on a baseball field, but I felt pretty closed in with them anyway.
MC stands for milker of cows.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, this is a true story. Yesterday, I'm working in Ephrata. This guy comes in, buys a bunch of tickets to see Adam's Family with his kids. Right? I swear to God. I don't know whether I should be proud of this or embarrassed. Podcast at Penn Cinema. Help me understand. guy comes in, buys a bunch of tickets to see Adam's Family. And then while I'm handing him his receipts, this is a true story. I can't believe he goes, "Hey, you did a really great job at that cow milking contest."
Was it like PTSD?
I was like, oh my God, that was in public, wasn't it? And there were people there, weren't there?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, Austin writes in wants to share this story. He had an experience this week where he lost his paper towels and he couldn't find them. So he had to hire a bounty hunter.
So good. So good.
I love it.
Oh, man.
I can't wait to go home because I don't know what it's like at your house, but we can never find our paper towels. We keep them consistently. They're kept under the sink. In the little cupboard thing under the sink.
Right.
But that's never where it is. Ever.
They just move.
Right. So we call it the Ketchum Family Fun Game of, like, where's the paper towels? Mm. We also like to play where's the ketchup and where's the peanut butter.
Well, I used to keep mine in a very specific spot. But as we've talked about before, I have a new kitty. New said kitty thinks paper towels are the coolest thing in the world.
Well, sure.
And if I don't hide the thing, I've come home to paper towels all over the place in tiny little pieces. So,
Austin Atreides, our number one Dune fan, has also purchased and read the last Dune book, Dune, Lady of Callahan.
Caladan.
Calispam? Califam. John Jacob Jingle Irish.
Pushing my buttons. All right, let's move on to what are you doing, what are you reading, what are you seeing, what's your world outside of the theater like these days?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my section is blank on the show notes today because I can't really remember what I watched, but so I guess I haven't been doing much. I mean, really? I don't know. I'm like flipping around. I definitely have been like watching things, but I just can't really think. Obviously, it's like nothing. I'll tell you what I started. I started that show on Netflix called Made.
Oh,
M-A-I-D.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be amazing, but it's a little bit too heavy for me. Mm. I'm not sure. I'm not totally, I'm not 100% committed to pushing through.
Mm. Well, moving on. I was not totally committed to pushing through. And now I think I'm so far in, I have to finish. And that's Squid Game.
Mm.
I didn't really care for the first two episodes, but the third episode had a plot line that got me more interested in it. I don't think it's as good as they say, but I think I have three or four episodes to go, so I probably will just finish it.
Gotcha.
Just to like be like, yeah, I did it.
Mm.
You want to talk about Squid Game? I can tell you how I didn't like it, and I can because I watched it.
Right.
So I also finished What If, which I thought the last two episodes were decent. It's definitely not a must-see. I just didn't care too much about it. I don't know very many people who did really love it, honestly. Nobody who hates it, but I don't know if you checked it out. I wouldn't really recommend it.
No,
for your
I
time.
Didn't.
I got chastised for not mentioning this when we did the first one, but my Bond group now is watching the Fast and the Furious movies. Mm. This week we watched Too Fast and Too Furious. Apparently I didn't mention it last time we watched it, and I should have, because these movies are ridiculously bad. And by that, good.
So good.
Yeah. They get so good, and they start so bad. So, of course, going through Seinfeld. And then here's the last thing. So the last couple of weeks, like, I've been like, I don't really have anything to talk about. This week I feel like I have a ton. I just, like, watched a lot of stuff. But here's the crazy thing. So Friday night, I went on up to Regal Downingtown in Regal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a long time, just like you. Mm-hmm. Like, here we go. My friends are like it starts at 7:30. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, we should get there at 7:30. And we get there, we're running a little behind, and I'm like, come on, guys, let's go in. Like, it's 7:30. They're like, well, why do you care about the trailer so much? And I was like, just part of the experience. Like, let's go in. So we go in at 7:30. The movie trailers did not start until 8 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
We sat there for half an hour with children who did not want to be in there, who were bored, like, through all the, like, movie stuff. And I was like this. I said exactly like you. I was like, this is why people don't get to the movie on time. And she's like, my one friend was like, yeah, you know, that's why I never really feel like I need to rush. And I'm always like, why is it so important to you? And I was like, at Penn, like, movie starts at 6:30. Movie starts at 6:30. You might have 5 minutes of trailers, 10 minutes of trailers, like, max. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not, it, yeah. So, and then the movie was bad.
It Adam's was, Family too?
It was bad. And I'm not just, yeah, I'm not just saying, like, it was, like, it was a kid's movie, but I was in a movie with children who were not sitting still and like running around because they were bored by the movie.
Right.
And the humor for adults went way over the kids' head, and there was way too much of it, and it still wasn't funny. Mm. So it just wasn't good.
I also watched, did we talk about last week how I watched Many Saints of Newark?
No, you wanted to watch it.
I did. I did go back and watch that, and I loved it.
So it's good.
So, and that's the other thing that I guess I watched a lot this week. I watched that movie, and then I went home and started rewatching All Sopranos. So good. Love that franchise.
Are you noticing things you'd not before because you saw The Many Saints of New York?
I'm not saying that I noticed things, but definitely, like, it's interesting. It's fun.
Cool.
If you're a fan of Sopranos, hurry up and come see Many Saints of Newark because it's not doing great. It's not going to be here long.
Oh, okay.
And don't get excited for another Sopranos movie. Cause,
probably not going to happen.
Right.
All right. What are we doing next week? We got Halloween and The Last Duel.
I'm not watching The Last Duel.
You're not going to – you're that up against The Last Duel? You don't want to watch it?
All right. I'll watch The Last Duel.
No. That was a question.
I'm saying it looks depressing. It looks – all right. We should watch it, though.
But what – do you want to watch Halloween?
No, I don't really want to watch Halloween either because it looks scary.
Yeah, Halloween looks scary.
All right. We'll watch Last Duel. I'll put on my
Wait.
Emotional support dog.
Is there anything that we missed that's out now? Are you sure?
No.
Like, it's too bad you saw it because we could have been like, let's watch The Many Saints of New York. But
all right, let's leave it up as an open question mark and we'll come back to it.
Okay. All right.
You're going to have to come in next week to see what we watched.
Yeah.
You're going to have to tune
be a surprise.
In. Don't come in. We don't want visitors.
No, not. We don't need a sign because you can hear us laughing.
Right.
But yeah, it's not. This is an audience participation show.
For crying out loud.
Right, jeez. All right. Well, look, if you want to be a part of the show, best way to do that is go ahead and email us, podcast@penncinema.com. Of course, you can hit us on Facebook. We had the triumphant return of Trailer Master Jason. Came back from vacation.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We've got to stop everything.
Oh.
I got to show you.
Oh, yeah, the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we got physical mail. He's running across the room. He's going through the escalator. He's coming down the escalator. Oh, he slid that little bit. Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
This is an envelope. It came in the mail with the stamp. Do you see the stamp?
It's a C-3PO Forever USA stamp from Orlando, Florida. Let's open this.
Yeah.
That's so great. David and Penn, hello from what's that?
It's the lower priced Disney World. You got regular Walt Disney World, and then down the street you have Wah Disney World. Right. It's the
50th anniversary
celebration.
But it's
still pretty great.
Figured you'd enjoy this new way of supporting the show. Take care and party on, Trailer Master Jason and wife Amy. It's a postcard from the Hollywood Tower of Terror Hotel, and it's got a Polaroid photo with a Trailer Master Jason with a t-shirt that says...
Is it any ordinary t-shirt?
It's a t-shirt that says the Penn Cinema Podcast on it. Might be single-handedly the best t-shirt in the world.
Ever.
We don't even have Penn Cinema Podcast t-shirts. Trailer Master Jason does, and he's sporting it, and it was amazing. This is like, we need like legit frames.
Yeah, we need to.
It's
got to
be like your one over there, where it's got like, you know, the big thing, and next to it's a little picture. Whew, that's a tall order, but we got to make that happen.
I was simultaneously amazed and like, it was awesome, and also it just made me feel so inadequate because why do we not have t-shirts yet?
Yeah, we need.
All right, we're gonna fix that. Yeah. We're gonna fix that.
I know a guy,
and we're gonna call them Jason shirts.
Snap, crackle, and pop! All right, so look, you can find Jason over on Facebook. He's always putting our trailers there.
Yep.
And what a hero, for sure.
Hero.
Yeah, I want to, hands down.
Yeah.
We have nurses,
right.
Doctors, EMTs, police officers.
Firefighters. Theater owners.
Trailer Master Jason. And then theater owners.
Engineers.
Yeah. Podcasters.
Tractor salesman.
Yeah, tractor salesman. But he's there on the list.
Right.
Yeah. So, cool. Now, look, Penn, if someone wants to support the show,
yeah.
And clearly how, I mean, no one can support it better than the way Jason does. But other than that, what's the second best way to support the show?
I mean, tell a friend.
Right.
Or if you actually like the show, just book a family vacation to Walt Disney World. Make up some Penn Cinema t-shirts and take a picture of yourself. It's that easy. I mean, obviously people are doing it. I'm looking at it right here.
Yeah. The irony is I talked to our boy downstairs, you know.
He's headed down there too.
Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah.
He's headed to Walt. I said, well, what's your big vacation? Well, I'm going to Walt Disney. And he said, and I got 100 Penn Cinema podcast stickers to put on everything. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. So, cool.
Someday somebody's going to actually do something. And we're going to be like, oh, hey, cross the line.
The police are going to be like, the only evidence is this Penn Cinema podcast sticker on the body. We're like, yeah. So
I don't know nothing about nothing. I was tying my shoes at the time.
I was busy mowing my door.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Did you say mowing my door?
That's a big thing online when people want something to do it again. They're like, oh, I was trimming my windows. Yeah. All right. Well, once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.